Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve. And today is the show for Thursday, November the 17th, 2016. And the subject is the Book of Judges, chapters 15 and 16. Now, Judges is Shofetim in the Hebrew. And we are in the story of Shimshon, known as Samson in your King James Version. And it's all about what he was doing. So let's get right into it. The whole story of Shimshon, is very exciting. So let's start with chapter 15, verse 1. It came to pass after a time, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Shimshon visited, that's 6485, his wife with a kid of the she-goats, that was going to be a gift, and he said, "Let me go to my wife in her chamber," 2315, that's as bedroom. But her father would not permit him to enter. Verse 2. Her father said, "I said in my heart that you utterly hated her, so I gave her to your companion." And that's 4828. That's his, the best man at his wedding. "Is not her younger sister better than she? Let her become your wife, please, instead of her." And Shimshon said, "This time," 6471, "I shall be free from guilt," 5352, "from the Pelishtim," that's the Philistines, "even if I do them harm," 7451. Well, he was pretty angry. Verse 4, "And Shimshon went and caught 300 foxes," that's 7776, and that's shualim, and it can also mean jackal. "And took torches," 3940, "and turned the foxes," in parentheses, "tail to tail," 2180 is tail, "tail to tail, and put a torch in the midst between two tails. And he set the torches on fire and let them loose in the standing grain," for 7054 of the Pelishtim, "and burnt up the grain stacks," 1430. They were already in sheaves. They had harvested. And he set all that stuff on fire, and also the standing grain that they haven't harvested yet. And the vineyards, all of those had dried detritus around them from the leaves falling, etc., etc. And they burned, and the olive trees, 2132. And he just devastated them. Verse 6. "Then the Pelishtim said, 'Who has done this?' And they were told, 'Shimshon, the son-in-law of the Timni," 8554, "because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion.' And the Pelishtim came up and burnt her and her father with fire." Oh, man. And she was the one that told the riddle, because they threatened to burn them with fire. Well, she got burnt anyway. Verse 7, "And Shimshon said to them, 'Though you have done this, Yet I will still avenge myself, 5358, of you, and after that I will cease, 2308. Verse 8, and he smote them leg, 7785, and thigh, 3409, with a great slaughter, 4347. And he went down and dwelt in the cleft, 5585, of the rock, 5553, Etam, 5862. Verse 9. Then the Pelishtim went up and encamped in Yauda, and spread abroad, 5203, in Lehi, 3896. And the men of Yauda said, for what reason have you come up against us? And they answered, to bind, that is 631, Shimshon, are we come up to do to him as he has done to us? Verse 11, then 3,000 men of Yauda went forth to the cleft of the rock Etam and said to Shimshon, do you not know that the Pelishtim rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. Verse 12, and they said to him, we have come down to bind you, that we may give you into the hand of the Pelishtim. And Shimshon said to them, swear to me that you will not strike me down, 6293, yourselves. In other words, they were his people, and they were going to turn him over to the powers that be. This was not Yahweh's will. Just as it's not Yahweh's will that we turn our brothers and sisters over to the powers that be today. We need to protect our own against the enemy. Verse 13. And they answered him, saying, no, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new, 2319, kadashim, two new cords, and brought him up from the rock. He lived in a big crack of the rock. He had like a cave-like dwelling in there. 14, when he came to Lehi, the Pelishtim called out to meet him. You know, yay, here comes Samson, he's a prisoner, da 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 da, and all that. They were really happy that the Judahites betrayed their own man and brought Samson as a prisoner because they were afraid of him. I mean, he was bad news. Mighty, mighty, mighty man. And they could not handle him at all. Just could not. It was more to their benefit than his own people betrayed him. When he came to Lehi, the Pelishtim called out to meet him, and the Spirit of Yahweh rushed upon him. Okay. And the cords upon his arms became like flax, 6593, that was burnt with fire. It was very brittle, had no strength to it. They were charred. And his bonds, 631, melted, 4549, from upon his hands. In other words, he just shrugged and he just broke the cords. Verse 15, and he found a fresh 2961 jawbone 3895 of an ass 2543 and sent forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men with it. 1,000 is 505. Whether it is a literal number that he slew or not, they had a habit of expanding the story sometimes about these heroes. They made them to be more than what they really were, but if the Spirit of Yahweh was on him, that's a lot of men for one man to kill. So this is a pretty big deal. Verse 16. And Shimshon said, with the jawbone of an ass, heap 2563 of heaps 2565. With the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. And this is a poetical usage in many, many cases. I really don't think it's meant to be taken literally, but I think he really killed a lot of people by hitting them in the head with this jawbone of an ass, which is a great big heavy bone. So we really don't know. So my opinion is only my opinion. It's not etched in stone. Verse 17. And it was when he had made an end, 3615, of speaking, he cast away 7993, the jawbone, from his hand, and called that place Ramoth Lehi, 7437, and that means jawbone heights. Verse 18, and he was very thirsty, 6770, and called to Yahweh and said, you have given this great deliverance, 8668, Teshua, by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die from thirst and fall into the hands of the possessors of foreskins? And that means uncircumcised. But literally in Hebrew, it means they possessed foreskins. Verse 19, but Elohim broke open, 1, 2, 3, 4, a hollow place, 4388, that was in the jawbone, and water came forth from it. And when he had drunk, his spirit returned, and he revived. Upon which he called the name of it, Ein Hakore, 5875, which is in Lehi unto this day. Because he had called out to Yahweh, Ein Hakore means spring of the caller. And now we have verse 20, and he led Israel in the days of the Pelishtim 20 years. And that ends chapter 15. It's a style of writing in the Hebrew to use thousands and ten thousands in a metaphorical manner to indicate a large number. This is not the literal number count of things, but a metaphor. So he actually just slew a lot of people. And he said, oh, I slew 1,000. Okay. They didn't do an actual head count of the bodies. So let's get into chapter 16 here. Verse 1. Then went Shimshon to Azatha. 5804, that's Gaza. okay, and saw there a woman prostitute and went in unto her. And that going in unto her means he went in and had sex. Verse 2, the Azathim 5841, those are the people that lived in Gaza, said, Shimshon is come here. And they surrounded him, 5437, and laid wait for him all night in the gate, 8179, of the city. So he had to pass by them to go out. And were silent, 2790, all night, saying, in the morning, when it is daylight, that's 216, we shall kill him. Oh, really? Samson had other plans. And Shimshon lay until midnight, and arose at midnight, and took hold of, 270, the doors, 1817, of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, 4201, and set out with them, 5265, bar, 1280, and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron, that's Hebron. He must have been a real brute, because a set of city gates, which were meant to protect the city, with their great big bar that they put down to bar the gates to keep people from bashing them in, weighed a lot. And nothing is beyond Yahweh's power. So if he gave him the strength to do that, then he did it. Verse 4. And it was afterward that he loved, 157, a woman in the Wadi, that's the sort of a river valley, 5158, Sorek, 7796, whose name was Delilah, 1807. Verse 5. The lords of the Pelishtim, then lords is 5633, and that's Sereni, more as tyrants. They were each ruling a city. There were five cities, and you can reference 1 Samuel 6 verse 17 for this. The lords of the Pelishtim came up to her and said to her, entice him, and wherein is his great strength, and by what means we may prevail, 3201, Neukal, against him, that we may bind him to imprison him, 6031, that all can also mean afflict him. And we will give you, every man of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. That's times five. She would have been a rich woman. Verse 6. And Delilah said to Shimshon, tell me, please, wherein is your great strength? And by what means you might be bound to imprison you? She was playing up to him. Oh, you're just so strong. And Verse 7. And Shimshon said to her, if they bind me with 7 new, 3892, bowstrings, 3499, that were never dried, 2717, then I shall be weak, 2470, and be as another Adam. So of what race was he? He was of the Adamic race, as all of true Israel is. Verse 8. So the lords of the Philistim brought up to her 7 new bowstrings, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now this is rawhide. Very, very... tough gut. Bowstrings is 3499, and that is yatharim, that's sinew guts or tendons of a large animal. Very, very efficient as bowstrings. That's what they used in those days. Verse 9, while men lying in wait abode with her in her in the chamber, and she said to him, the Philistim are upon you, Shimshon, and he broke the bowstrings like a thread, 6616, of tow, 5296, pardon me, 5296, is broken when it smells. 7306 as a metaphor, the fire. So his source of strength was not known. He fooled her. She was going to betray him. And he just out and out just gave her a song and a dance. Don't worry about it, honey. I'm strong. Don't worry about why I'm strong or how I'm strong. I'm just strong. So deal with it. Verse 10. And Delilah said to Shimshon, behold, you have deceived me and told me lies. 3577. Now tell me, please, by what means you may be bound. She just kept at him. And deceived me is 2048, and that is Hephaleta. Verse 11. And he said to her, if they bind me fast with new 2319 ropes 5688 that were never used 4399, in other words, they didn't have any wear and tear on them, then I shall be weak and be as another Adam again. Verse 12. Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistim are upon you, Shimshon, and liars in wait abode in the chamber. And he broke them from upon his arms like a thread. 2339. And these liars in wait didn't rush out on upon him when they saw those ropes break. They were scared to death of this guy, and with good reason. Now, what I don't understand is why he's not telling her, hey, shut up about this, leave me alone. But he didn't do that. This is all in Yahweh's hands here. Verse 13, and Delilah said to Shimshon, until now you have deceived me and told me lies. Yeah, wah, wah, wah. Tell me in what manner you may be bound. And he said to her, if you weave, 707, that means to weave in a weaver's loom, the 7 locks of my head, that's his long hair that he had, with the web 4545 of fabric. Well, verse 14. She beat it, and she beat it, 8628, with the pin 3489. Now, she beat it, and that is watateka, that's to force the hair into the web of fabric in the loom. And the pin, 3489, is biyathed, And that's the pin of the loom used to force thread into the fabric being woven. So she's setting him up again, and he's going to go along with it, I guess. Yeah, pardon me, folks. I had to clear my lungs a little bit here. And she said to him, "The Pelishtim are upon you, Shimshon." And he awakened from his sleep, 8142. Yeah, the fall pollen is getting to me here. He awakened from his sleep and set out, 5265, with the pin of the loom, 708, that's a hand loom, ha-ereg, and the web of fabric. He just got up and walked off with that loom and all that business hanging from his hair. He had strong hair, too, I guess. And verse 15, and she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me?" Whine, whine, whine. "You have deceived me three times and have not told me wherein your great strength lies." Well, let me get a hit of iced tea here and wash this frog down. Ah, that got it. Verse 16. "And it was because she nagged him," 6693. That's hetshika. And that means to bring into straits by importuning. She just kept at him. "She nagged him daily with her words and urged him," 509, that's aletsehu. "And he was worn out," 7114, that's ketzar, "unto death." Now there, he was sick to death of listening to it. So he broke down here, and in verse 17, he told her all in his heart and said to her, "Never has come up a razor upon my head because I have been a Nazir to Elohim from my mother's womb. If I am shaven," 1548, "imgulaketi, then my strength will depart," 5493, "from me," that's to turn aside, "and I shall be weak and like the whole of Adam." Verse 18, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Pelishtim, saying, 'Come up once more, because he has told me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Pelishtim came up to her and brought money in their hand." Verse 19, "She caused him to sleep," that's 3462, "wata yashanehu," that's all one word, "caused him to sleep," "upon her knees," 1290, "and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, that's 6031, that's by binding him, and his strength departed from upon him. Verse 20, and she said, the Pelishtim are upon you, Shimshon. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go forth as other times and shake myself, 5287, free. And he did not know that Yahweh had departed from upon him. Verse 21, but the Pelishtim took hold of him and bored out, 5365, that's Wayanakeru, bored out his eyes, and brought him down to Azatha, that's Gaza again, and bound him with fetters of bronze, 5178. And he ground 2912 in the house of prisoners, 615. Ha'asurim, and ground is token. And that means he turned a millstone. They made him a slave. Verse 22, his hair of his head grew abundantly, 6779, after it was shaved off. And that's Litzemecha, grew abundantly. Verse 23, the lords of the Pelishtim gathered to slaughter, 2076, a great sacrifice, 2077, to Dagon, 1712, and that's the fish god of the Pelishtim, to Dagon, their god, or Elohim, small e, and to make merry, 8057, that's Ula Semeka, for they proclaimed, 559. Now I'm going to anglicize this next verse so you can understand it. Given by our God, and in Hebrew that's Eloheka, given by our God to our hands, Shimshon, our hated enemy. They announced that all over. Verse 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God, and that's number 430 again, but this is a plural usage, and it's Elohechem. For they said, given by our God to our hands, our hated enemy, and the desolator, 2717, Makarib, of our country, and many, 7235, Hireba, he slew of us, 2491, Ethkalaleinu, of us, the new on the end means of us. Verse 25. And it was when their hearts were merry, in other words, they were drinking quite a bit, that they said, excuse me for a second. yes, I had to get rid of that. That they said, call for Shimshon, that he may make sport for us, 7832, and that's so we can laugh at in derision. And this usage is we sakakik lanu. Sakak lanu, pardon me. And they called for Shimshon from the house of the prisoners and made sport, 7832 again, before them. And that is Waitzekek. Waitzekek. It's from the same root word, but different tenses. And they stood him between the pillars, 5892. Verse 26. And Shimshon said to the lad that held him by the hand, permit, 5117, permit me to feel, 4184, the pillars upon which the house stands, that I may lean upon them. That's 8172. He made him believe that he was enfeebled because he had been so ill-treated. Verse 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Pelishtim were there, and upon the roof were about 3,000 men and women that watched while Shimshon was made sport of. They had a roof on top of this square building, and it was a flat roof. And it was the house was the temple of their fish god, Dagon. And it was flat roofs were used as an open air area. They just had flat roofs. They didn't get a lot of rain there, so they didn't have peak roofs like we have here. Verse 28. And Shimshon called out to El Yahweh. That means to the divine being Yahweh. And said, O Lord. 136, that's Adonai, Yahweh. They have these two in conjunction together. It's a title and then the holy name. Remember me, please, and strengthen me now only this once, O Elohim, so that I may at once, one time, avenge, 5358, vengeance, 5359, from the Pelishtim for my two eyes. Verse 29. And Shimshon took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood. Evidently, they were the main support pillars, and upon which it was borne up, one with his right hand and the other with his left. So these were evidently the key pillars. They had other pillars, I'm sure, but if these two went down, the other ones were going to go too. They couldn't handle all that weight. Verse 30. And Shimshon said, let me die with the Pelishtim. Verse 30 continues. And with all his might, he stretched out, 5186, like thrust out. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were in it. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew while he lived. Okay, all those people were on the roof came tumbling down and got crushed in that big destruction as well. So everybody inside and everybody that was up top got squished. Verse Verse 31. Then his brothers and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Sarah and Eshtaol in the sepulcher of Manoach his father, and he led Israel 20 years. He had a 20-year stint as the mighty man, the big warrior judge in Israel. People asked his advice. I mean, he was famous. Very, very famous. And that ends chapter 15 and 16. Now we see that when Yahweh is with you, he gives you great strength. All right. I'm not making an analogy between us today and Shimshon, or Samson, as it says in the King James. But we're in a time of Jacob's trouble right now. And we're heading hell-bent for leather for the tribulation, which is going to be much, much worse. This deal with elections and all this stuff and the ongoing violence is going to escalate. I have been away with Pastor Eli doing a speaking engagement south of here, and we watched on the news while we were there and saw all the expose that is now coming out even on the mainstream media. They can no longer hold back. They're getting left in the lurch because people are wise to what's going on. They are admitting that they're busing in protesters. This is going to be really ugly when it finally comes to pass. When the full tribulation hits, we're going to be attacked en masse. We're going to have to be prepared for that, for survival. Not just to fight, but to survive. The best way of survival is to avoid the enemy until our commanding general gets here. And that is Yahshua Messiah. He says that those that endure till the end, that occupy to the end and don't lose faith, will be the ones that will be in the kingdom. If we go down, if we're killed, but we're killed in his name, we will be resurrected unto eternal life because we have been faithful. I urge everyone to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. It tells you what Yahshua is going to do to the enemies of our people. And again, if Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? We are still in dispersion as punishment for our past sins. We are making individual commitments with Yahshua Messiah these days. One-on-one, yes, I believe, yes, I will live my life according to your teachings. Yes, you are the faith and the only keeper of my soul, and I will follow you even if I die in this body, because I will get the new one. Having the faith to act on what he taught us. Yes, some of us are going to pass, but we'll be back. As I stress all the time, prepare yourselves spiritually first and physically second. Teach your children the truth of Yeshua Messiah and what he came for, why he came to redeem Israel and to give us an out, an escape route from the punishment for being sinful. It doesn't mean we can just say, oh, I believe, and then go on living our lives. We have to repent. That is part of the action we have to take. And to repent doesn't mean just, oh, I'm sorry. You have to do something about it. You have to act on that repentance. Faith without work is dead. You have to have the faith first. And then because you have true faith, your heart will work on you and you will want to be obedient. It will be your greatest desire, actually. You won't want to be disobedient. It won't be in your heart anymore because you have put on the new man and put off the old man. That's how it works. It's a miraculous thing. It really is. I can't explain it fully. I'm only a man. But I am the recipient of it. I can testify to that. And am blessed by that. So, we are watching the forces of evil gather. Paid thugs. Personally, I don't care what politician really is in there, a Republican or Democrat, it doesn't make any difference. We have had a little time bought for us with Trump getting in because shrillery would have brought us into a war, took away, just it would have been horrible, okay? It's not quite time for totally horrible yet. It's coming. We don't know what this new guy is going to do, really. He talks a good game, but there's already been some modifications to statements, which is usual for politicians. Say one thing before you're elected, do another after you're elected. What can I say? They're men. Government by men has always been flawed because we are flawed. At least he's a white guy. And all the stuff that I've seen of his cabinet so far have all been white people. He got the white vote. The white vote elected him. A lot of us have had enough. And this has caused the enemy to change their game plan temporarily. They may slow down a bit and back off a little bit, but not for long. Not for long. Politics is smoke and mirrors. It is all a game to make people think they have a choice. The only real choice we have today is to believe on and have faith in Yeshua Messiah and act on those beliefs and to praise Yahweh, or to give ourselves over to the world and the master of it, which is the devil. You can choose between good and you can choose between evil. You're not going to be able to straddle the fence. If you are lukewarm, Yeshua Messiah said he will spew you out. If you're going to be one of his, then you have to be one of his. You can't just say it, you have to do it. And that's what I stress on this show all the time. I mean, you see the examples given in Scripture. Okay? We were warned by Samuel that if we rejected Yahweh and got a king over us, and what is a president or a prime minister but a king, an earthly human being ruling over us, and he warned us what they would do to us, and they have all done it. Oh, I know, president isn't a king, But he's the ruler, man of great power. He can issue edicts. And a lot of the guys are taking up arms and getting ready and all this stuff. And it also says in Scripture, very definitely, especially in Psalms, David, who was a man of war, warned us, don't trust in horses and chariots. These are weapons of war, okay? Don't trust in things. Trust in Yahweh first, and He will bring the victory. He's going to get the glory for Himself, not us. If we do it ourselves, it's not giving glory to Him. And He has had enough of that. We make a mess of it all the time when we take it upon ourselves to do these things. We need our commanding general and his avenging messengers with us to get victory. We can't do it with rifles and pistols. The opposition has tanks and drones and helicopters and gunships and bombs and rockets and grenades and whatever else. All that armament they've got. Even if you have an AR, they're going to bring foreign troops against us here in the United States. Not necessarily our own people. And then they have all these homeland security goons that they've armed to the teeth and militarized them. I'm not trying to get you to lose hope. I'm trying to give you hope. That's what I said. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 6 through 10. It tells you plainly what Yeshua is going to do when He returns. He's going to have us, the remnant, with Him. We will be in His armed force in new bodies. It will not be subject to the infliction of wounds and death by the enemy. We are going to slaughter them wholesale at His command. But if we jump the gun and take it upon ourselves in our own arrogance, we're going to lose. Yahweh will tell us when it's time. He will push the button for us. We will know. Don't follow an earthly leader. Don't let anybody provoke you into committing an act of violence, which will get you either dead or imprisoned forever in some gulag. Been there, done that. I'm speaking to you from experience. Wait on Yahweh. When there is divine intervention, that will be the time and everything will be right and we will be protected. If you do something on your own before Yahweh says go, you forfeit your life. You will be wasting your time. I'm not telling you to be cowardly. I'm telling you to be an Israelite. We have to have our commander with us. Don't go out and perpetrate acts of violence. You cannot be effective for your people if you're dead or in prison. You can't do anything to help your family under those circumstances. You will waste your life. Don't do that. Stay as much in their laws as you can. Don't be stupid. If we're going to fight, we have to fight smart. And who is smarter than our commanding general, our king, Yahshua, who will be bringing divine intervention. And that's the only way we can defeat this enemy, because they have a fallen angel commanding them. He used to be the number one angel, and in his pride, he fell. There's divine in, you know, divine doesn't mean holy and good. The devil is a divine being. Okay? He has great power, more than any man, for sure. So it's going to take divine information or divine intervention on the good side from Yahweh, the divine being of all divine beings, to win this battle. Yahweh has to fight for us as he did all in the past. And he will do so again. He will fight for the faithful of his people, Israel. He will put people in positions at his will to help lead. But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, because there will be many that will make claims, okay? They'll make claims, and they'll be very charismatic, and you will be deceived, and you will be led down the path to destruction. Wait on Yahshua. The true believers, the true faithful will know when he comes and won't be deceived by the false anointed ones. That's a word to the wise from somebody that's been down that path. Okay, don't do what I did. I have learned a hard lesson. Trust in Yahweh. He is the one that's going to get us out of this mess. This is going to be the culmination and the final battle of the war in heaven that got the devil kicked out. That war's still going on right down here, and we're right in the middle of it. You can't get out of it. There's nowhere that we can go. So I'm about down to the end of my hour here. And tomorrow, on Friday, I will do Judges 17 and 18. And I will say Shalom Aleichem to you now. That means peace be with to you. Be with you. Praise Yahweh in all things. Trust in Him and Him only. May Yahweh bless and keep you, brothers and sisters. Yes.